AMS is a premier substance use disorder treatment facility in Rehoboth Beach, Delaware. AMS specializes in outpatient counseling services for individuals struggling with substance use disorder. Evidence-based, client-centered care is their main focus. AMS offers over 30 different group therapy options a month, individualized counseling sessions, and the option of receiving medication assistance with methadone, Suboxone, Subutex, and Vivitrol. Your treatment is in your hands. AMS currently accepts Delaware and Maryland Medicaid, Medicare, and VA benefits. For help, call 302-227-1320 and schedule your intake appointment today. Good morning. Welcome back. This is the I Am Sorry About Last Night podcast. My name is Tom, part of the Social Podcast Network, www.socialpodcastnetwork.com. Local folks doing local podcasts, check them out. Really proud of all of them, having a good time. How are you doing today, January 19th, 2021? What's happening? How are we? I'm a little lost for words today. A lot of things going on. We got the inauguration coming up. We hired an intern here at the network. Business is slow, but business is fine. Life is good, but life is kind of crummy. It's just a lot of shit. I feel like this coronavirus is just grinding us down until we finally give in. Finally, I give in. It's almost like it's trying to revert us back 20 years. You know? I mean, it's kind of a bummer. It's a little, it's easy to kind of find yourself, you know. Well, I can tell you my latest thing has been taking a nap. And it's kind of becoming a little obsessive lately. And I think it's due to this, you know, the pandemic. There's just nothing to do. You know, whereas before I would maybe. Mondays and Wednesdays seem to be the worst days for napping. And when I say a nap, I mean like a half hour, 45 minute, just lay on the couch and just, you know, nod off for a bit. You know, I'm not going back to bed or anything like that. It's just this, it's become this thing. I'm all day. I'm like, oh, I can't wait to get home. And just, it's like it's the be all end all of the day is just nap. And part of the problem is there's nothing really else to do. You know, I may have like after work, you know, run to Walmart or stop by a friend's or, you know, went to the, I don't know, just done something. Where now there's just nothing to do. You just go home, watch TV. You know, of course it's winter, so you're not going to go outside. There's just not a lot going on. It's almost like a state of depression. You know, you just want to sleep and make it all go away. And I know I talked about in a podcast the other day how, you know, I had to do a bunch of driving around and take, you know, David to cross-country practice. And all of that, really, the biggest problem of that is that I had gone home and taken a nap. You know, there were some things that I needed to do after work. And it's funny, in the morning I'm like, yeah, I got a full day. You know, or I'm working a half day, I'm going to have a half day of free time to just take care of, like, errands and just junk that I need to do. And as soon as I finished doing what I had to do as far as at the salon and here at the network, I was like, I need to run home. Usually it's on a Monday, so, you know, I love watching, like, Skip and Shannon, Undisputed. You know, they talk about the weekend of football, and right now we're in a lot of weekend football and the playoffs, and so I'm like, I want to go watch that. And, you know, I usually just lay on the couch and watch it and fall asleep. Get up half hour, 45 minutes later, and I'm good. But I didn't take that time to do the things I was supposed to do, so in the end it jammed up my day, and then I became kind of an asshole, and then everybody around me had to suffer. It's not good. And I'm blaming it on, you know. Well, part of this, I'm getting a little bit older. Plus, I get up at 5:30. I mean, I don't know. I can find 100 reasons why I can justify that it's fine. And actually, maybe it is fine. I don't know. But I just, what's weird is how I put so much return into this little moment. Like when I'm at work, I'm like tired. Oh, I'm yawning. I just want to get home. You know, God, if I could just take a nap right now. You know, it's like, but as soon as I'm done working and I'm off and I'm home, I'm not tired. So I feel like this nap, this going to sleep, this disappearing for a bit is starting to become like this, you know, this tool that I'm using to escape and hide. And, you know, could it get worse? You know, I don't see myself putting a cot in the salon. You know, I'm not that tired. I don't know. It's a lot of just crazy shit. You know, this election and the riot in Washington and now this inauguration. And it's just, you know, if you'd have told me, I remember when Carlos and I were sitting, we were doing our Pearl Jam podcast and, you know, we were getting ready for Pearl Jam to go on tour and they were just releasing an album. And I was doing the Rehoboth Social Firefly edition with Trey and Jordan and Dion. And we were going through the Firefly lineup, which is a local festival, big music festival, three or four day music festival. And we were going through all the, you know, all the bands and, you know, really getting into it. And I remember when this kind of started and we, you know, I think we said, you know, give it a week or two. And here we are, I don't know, however many, 9 months later, 10 months later, maybe now. We're still doing it. And now the infighting of people that want the vaccine, and oh, for God's sakes, people are cutting in line, and people are coming from other states, and it's like, I don't know, but 10 months later, and you look at us, and we're, I mean, for the most part, you know, I'm looking out the window, the parking lot's got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 cars in it. You know, people are next door eating breakfast, socially distanced. A lot less people. People are driving on the highway, going wherever they're going. Probably about the same amount of people that would be in a regular year. You know, my wife went to work. She's working. Completely different situation than her work, though. Actually, they've kind of gotten a little bit, not back to normal, so to speak, because they all have to wear masks, but you know, they have the inside open and people can come in. But, you know, you need to make appointments. And I almost feel like this pandemic has just reverted us back to less happier times. Or times where we weren't so able to do so many things. You know, I wonder what it was like 100 years ago or even, you know, 75 years ago. Even when I was a kid, you know, we used to, you know, I'd go to school, ride the bus home. There wasn't much as far as TV was. We did not have cable. My kids asked me, was there color back then? And that's funny because that's what I used to ask my dad. And we did have color, but we had like 3 or 4 channels and, you know, TV. I remember we would come home and we would watch some TV, but we'd watch like Scooby-Doo. We'd watch some cartoons after school. Nothing big. Then we'd go outside, play and have fun. And then as time goes along, then we got cable, and then I remember MTV showing up, and I remember we were glued to the TV, man. That MTV, that was like the first real, can we call that almost one of the first versions of a social media, so to speak? I mean, we're learning about what's going on out in the world in the industry that I loved, which was music, performance. Performance. And we'd started just getting deep into it. And then, you know, over time, you know, more cable, more channels, more stuff. I mean, from that point, it was like a steady climb and then into the space and far beyond. And here we are, and we're just, you know, March, last March, you know, what a different life I had. I could literally do pretty much anything that I wanted to do. You know, I could pretty much buy anything I wanted to do, buy anything I wanted to buy. You know, and even if I didn't have enough money, I could have a credit card that would allow me to get whatever I wanted. That's kind of bring some sort of feelings, right? Feelings. You buy something expensive, and you're like, yeah. Then you kind of work it out over time. You realize maybe I shouldn't have bought that. Maybe there was something else involved in that purchase. Ego over necessity. Ego shows up first. Necessity, he lingers around, I guess, but I could do anything I wanted to, go anywhere I wanted to. I had a car, had a job, go out to dinner. You know, one of the things that was going on in our world was that we had been doing a lot of eating out like the year before. Going to Iron Hill, we'd go to, you know, Pete's Steak Shop, we'd go to Jake's, we were eating out all the time. Going in, what are we doing tonight? Let's take the kids out. Okay, let's go. It was a thing to do. But kind of at the end of the, I think it was that summer, I was like, you know what, I'm so sick. Because what we would end up doing is like, you know, we'd go to Iron Hill, which is a great local restaurant, have great food, but we would make the kids eat all off the kids' menu because we didn't want to spend a lot of money, right? Because kids waste food, but we're feeding our kids this junky food. Not, no offense to Iron Hill, it's pretty much the way every kid's menu is, chicken fingers, blah, blah, blah. And so I was like, you know what, I'm tired of how much, because we were spending a lot of money too. I mean, my wife and I were going to Lefty's every Friday night and having steak. And I remember saying to her, I think I can make a better steak. And that was kind of the beginning of us starting to cook at home. You know, I was probably going through some mental bullshit with diet. But I remember we were cooking a lot of food at home, and I got an Instant Pot, and I was making steaks and making amazing potatoes and just really going for it. And then this pandemic hit, so I was kind of like, eh, no big deal. We're really not eating out anyway. But I'm sure that that would have slowly, you know, not faded away, but we would have found some balance in there where, okay, yeah, we've been eating at home a lot. Maybe we can go out a little every once in a while. Something to do. You know, eating out is a funny thing because, you know, it's delicious and the food's great and we need to eat food, but, you know, it's something to do. It's a social thing. So now, you know, we eat out, but it's me going through the drive-thru at Chick-fil-A or some, I think we got Chinese food the other night, but, you know, now it's just become food, which is fine, but that's what it was supposed to be in the first place. Just food. I don't know. I feel like speaking for myself, I'm 52, just over my lifespan, it's just been increasingly making the years and the improvements that we make with technology and transportation and just all the entertainment. Every year, it's gotten better and better and better. And it keeps getting better and better. And it's just better and better and better and better and better and more and more and more and more. And then this pandemic hits and hits the brakes. There's no improving anything right now. You know, the only improvement we're seeing is better ways to communicate and be social through, you know, electronic devices like Zoom or these group chats. Facebook's now got a group room and, you know, just different ways for people to communicate and socialize without having to be together. And I think that shit wears on you. And I think, God, I just feel like, I feel like kind of like garbage. You know, and I'm not sure why. But I think these are the things that are starting to show up. I remember when the pandemic started, I'm like, ah, it's no big deal. I don't need to go out. Go out anyway. But, you know, the choice, it's nice to have an option. I don't know. It is a, it's tough right now. Let's see if I can read something, find some direction here this morning, because I'm not really, well, I can tell you another couple things. So we hired an intern here at the Social Podcast Network. Cody is going to be helping us out. And, you know, we're really starting to build this the podcast business. Now people are wanting to sponsor podcasts. So I think we're going to start having a rehab is going to sponsor this podcast. So you might start hearing a read before the podcast. You know, if you know anybody out there struggling or you are, you know, at some point, hopefully not me, but if I am, you know, it's nice to know of places that maybe can give us a help other than listening to like a podcast. So those are some changes that we might start having. I don't know. We'll see. Stay tuned. So we have a lot of great stuff going on. That's the other thing. You know, everything is really going very well. But on the other side, it feels like it's not. I don't know. Let's see. Let me read this. Maybe this will help. I already like the name. January 19th, Round the Clock Faith. Faith has to work 24 hours a day in and through us as we parrot. Oh, wait a minute. Let's try that again. Faith has to work 24 hours a day in and through us or we perish. Alcoholics Anonymous, page 16. The essence of my spirituality and my sobriety rests on the round of the clock faith in higher power. I need to remember and rely on the God of my understanding as I pursue all of my daily activities. How comforting for me is the concept that God works in and through people as I pause in my day. Do I recall specific concrete examples of God's presence? Am I amazed and uplifted by the number of times this power is evident? I am overwhelmed with gratitude for my God's presence in my life of recovery, of my life of recovery. Without this omnipotent force in my every activity, I would again fall into the depths of my disease and death. You know, and I like that. I would again fall into the depths of my disease and death. You know, and 10 years ago, I would say, I would again fall into the depths of my disease, meaning I would drink again and death. Problem is, I'm not drinking again. You know, who knows what's going to happen? But for the most part, I surrender to that shit. Drinking does not work. I know it. It won't happen. But fall into the depths of my disease, that's different. And this is my disease. You know, because in the end, if I want to peel back the onion on all this shit, I'm a victim. I'm not getting what I want. Poor me. It's not going my way. And that's, you know, that's the reality of it for me. I'm not telling anybody else out there is. I'm telling you that for me, the disease that I have is I'm a victim. I'm a self-centered asshole that doesn't, there's a deficiency in humility, meaning on times when I'm not getting what I want, I have zero humility about it. I become that victim. And, you know, that's not drinking, but that is the disease.
machines that can only make money. Supposed to design to make you high. I'll be a long song with words for a feeling and all I've discovered. Ooh,
I don't know. It is a, it's constantly changing. You know, what I think is one thing keeps changing and, you know, just trying to hang on. I know for me that it's important that I recognize that I am being a bit of a bitch sometimes. I'm having a, you know, it's like we get used to things, you know, we get set in our ways and then to kind of take everything back, you know, it's, you know, it is what it is. But, you know, until I recognize it, it just feels like I'm getting screwed over. And I will not drink, but, you know, that's the kind of shit that does eventually lead you to maybe having a drink. I've been down that road before. I've had it happen. You know, the other thing is just the conversations, the masks, the, you know, it's always negative and, you know, I've never had someone walk in the salon and say, oh my God, I'm so grateful that we can live a somewhat normal life as long as we use these masks. Or I've never heard someone say, you know, it's always been the worst year. 2020 was the worst year. And it was bad. But is there any, can we find any good? And I see people are. People are posting stuff on Facebook, you know, talking about the Easter eggs found in the year. I'm not sure. Some people probably would disagree. But I know that in my history that if things feel good, they're probably not great for me. And if things feel kind of crummy or hard or difficult or challenging or test me or question me, that's usually when the miracle takes place, the growth. We're getting ready to, I don't know if I think I've talked about, you know, we're rebuilding our house. We live in a trailer. And that trailer, or, you know, it's a double wide modular home. It's not a, like a camper trailer, but and it's been a great house. I've lived in it for 20 something years. And it's been fine. It's been perfect, but our family keeps growing and, you know, we want to improve. You know, a 25-year-old trailer starts to fall apart. And it's not, like, good falling apart either because, like, the trailer, the house that we live in, like, the bathrooms and the kitchen were all made with this, like, press board that has some sort of print on it. It's not wallpaper. It's printed press board. And it's fucking hideous. I mean, it's hideous. And if it gets wet, you know, it kind of gets a funny stain to it. And it's just 25 years of it, you know, three kids. It's just the fucking house is starting to fall apart. My son comes around the corner laughing. I'm like, what? And my kids think it's hysterical to see our house fall apart. For some reason, they think that's just funny. And it is kind of funny. But, you know, he comes around the corner. He's laughing. I'm like, what? What's going on? And he shows me that the hinge in the bathroom door has completely broken off, just broken in half. And now the door's literally hanging by one hinge. You know, and most houses have three hinges on a door. Of course, ours has two because it's, you know, it's a cheap house. And the pipes are all cracking and, you know, it's just, it's, I don't want to sound ungrateful, but, you know, it's time. We came to a point where we're like, listen, we're either going to dump a bunch of money into this trailer. We had three choices. Dump a bunch of money into a trailer. Sell it and move. Or the third, which was tear down the trailer and rebuild a stick-built house. The first option, that's what we were going to do. We went to Lowe's. We were going to have somebody, we were going to put in a new kitchen, a new bathroom, and we were really going to fix it up. And someone's like, you can't put that much money into a trailer because it's still just a Class C mobile home. You know, it's about a $275,000 house. You know, that's about the max because you're still just a Class C mobile home. When they say you can put lipstick on a pig and it's still a pig, well, it's kind of the deal. And then there was the option of selling it. Well, we could have sold it, but we wouldn't have where we live. We love where we live. We love our location. We live kind of by the trail. I can run to the trail in the mornings. The kids can ride their bikes on the trail. You know, in our... It's funny, in everybody's own little town, we have our own little, you know, our things. And our thing is that, you know, if you're too far out, you get stuck in traffic. If you're too far in, you have to get stuck in traffic to get back in. It's, you know, small town problems. But where we're located, the house that we bought, you know, 23 years ago was, at the time, was not really a big deal. It was just a simple little neighborhood off Route 1. But now, over, you know, 25 years later, fucking all the people moving here, especially after the pandemic, everyone's evacuating New York and ending up down here in Delaware. And it's these problems are times 5 or 10 now, you know. If you're down Route 9 or down Route 24, you're dealing with a ton of freaking traffic. And the infrastructure isn't really built up. You know, they're starting to kind of work on infrastructure to move all these people that are now here around. So we love our location, and if we had sold the place, we would have been forced to move out to, you know, Milton or, you know, Millsboro, I don't know where. Which would have been fine, I guess, but when you kind of enjoy where you've lived, it would have, I'm sure, been a nice neighborhood or whatever, but it wasn't what we were used to. I mean, now I can basically drive out one road and go to the grocery store. I drive out a different road. I go to the Wawa. I mean, it's, I can, if I want to go south, I can go out one way. If I want to go north, I can go another way. It's very easy. So moving was not really an option either. So then we decided to tear down the house and rebuild it. And, you know, that's a great, it's great. We're doing it. We've, you know, we had an architect. We drew up plans. We got the house. The problem is we don't have anywhere to go. I mean, we have my buddy Rick. He owns a bed and breakfast. He said, he's like, in the off season, because we were initially hoping to get this started back in, you know, October. You know, in the off season, you guys can stay at the bed and breakfast. No big deal. I don't really have much guests because of the winter. We're like, great. Well, you know, here we are. And it's January 19th. And we still haven't found a builder. We'll know more tomorrow. But, you know, and even if we do find someone in this week, it's not going to probably be another 4 weeks before that even gets started. We have to get rid of this house. This guy was going to come and take the house and use it. Now he can't. So now we're going to have it torn down. So now we're like looking into spring, summer. And we have nowhere to live. You know, my dad's got a nice house, but he doesn't want to stay in there because we have the kids and the cats, and he's like 83, and he can't, you know, I'm 52, and I can barely handle a day in the life of our house. I mean, three kids running around, it's crazy. It'll wear you out. So I can only imagine how he would feel. So we're like kind of in a jam. And I'm hoping that, you know, eventually it'll, something will happen, you know. And it works out. I don't know. These are just, you know, I guess the point is that I need to stay in the day. I need to keep talking. I need to keep relying on my higher power throughout my day, just like that reading said. You know, I turn it over. I pray about it. I share about it. I talk out loud about it. You know, I'm trying to do all the things that I can because I'm not concerned about drinking. But I'm concerned about the disease.
Warned by these accents are not machines.